everyone. Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Dialectical Behavioral Therapy class series. A trained therapist and secular member of Overeaters Anonymous will teach us new DBT skills every week that can help manage emotions, which can often trigger overeating. To find out more about secular overeaters, visit the website, secularovereaters.org. Now let's begin today's class.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills class. My name is Susan P., and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I've also been a CBT therapist for about 36 years at this point and practicing DBT for about 10 years. And I just love DBT so much because I use the skills every day, and they've been incredibly helpful in my recovery. When you first learn them, don't get discouraged. They take a lot of thought, I think. But when you practice them enough, you barely have to think about it, and you find yourself using them. This meeting is an ongoing class where we will focus on a different skill every week, and we're in week 5 right now. If you're listening to this as a recording, you can check the podcast show notes for links to the materials I'll be reviewing today. So we're going to begin each class with a mindfulness exercise. This one is called Let's Take a Mental Vacation. And the point of this one is to help us relax and distract from feelings we might ordinarily eat over. So we're going to take a mental vacation. It's an imagery exercise. Right. So if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. You don't have to, but if you feel comfortable, do that. And I want you to think of a place that you have been and loved, or someplace maybe you've never been, but would like to imagine going to. So close your eyes and take a nice deep breath. And if you were there, what would you be smelling? What are some of the smells in this place? What would the air feel like on your skin? And what would you be seeing? What are some of the sights? And what would you be hearing? And if it were time to eat or drink, what would you be tasting? Take another deep breath. And when you're ready, open your eyes and return to the place where you are. I love this exercise. I have to admit that I don't use imagery exercises a lot of the time, but there is one place where I consistently use this exercise, and that is when I am in the dentist chair. This one helps me. It helps get my mind off of sort of nervousness about what I'm going to experience, and that one's really effective for me. So another nice mindful exercise. Oh, I forgot. We have a new thing. We did it last week too. Is there anybody who would volunteer to do a 1 or 2 minute share on how you use problem solving last week? That was the skill we used or learned last week. Anybody willing to share? Jenny?
I had like a simple problem. I was going to San Francisco. A trip that normally takes me 25 minutes was taking 90 minutes. It was rush hour traffic in the morning. You know, I checked ahead of time it was going to take time. So I had a book on Audible that I was going to listen to kind of keep me distracted. I had hot tea in the car and everything was going okay until I was like inching inch by inch at the toll plaza. And all of a sudden, all these people started cutting in ahead of me. And my anger was just rising. Like, what makes you so special that you get to cut in line and all this stuff? And so I just had to sit back and think about what else I could do in this situation. And because I just didn't want to start this wonderful morning so angry. And I kind of did, even though I'm kind of jumping ahead, but you had talked about like the opposite action. So I'm like, yep. All right, I'll let this person in. Maybe this person is like, you know, a mother that had a hard time getting ready in the morning with her kids. And so, you know, she's late. So I let the person in. And sorry, men, but it was a guy. And he didn't even do the little like, thank you wave for doing that. And that just made me more angry. And so, I was going to start reaching for my lunch that I had packed because that's where I was going for the food. But then instead, I did the grounding exercise, the one, the 5-4-3-2-1, where you're thinking about looking at things and feelings and things like that. So anyway, that helped. It got me through that next like 10 minutes, and then the traffic started moving again.
Good. What a good example. I love that. And you also introduced the opposite action, which we're going to talk about today in a really perfect way. So thank you, Jenny. Today, we are going to be learning about a skill called opposite to emotion action. And the goal here is that if you're really in distress, like Jenny was, if you're feeling a distressing emotion, right? But actually, the anger is maybe not related to what's going on. It feels like it is, but maybe it's not related. Then problem solving won't work or may not be effective because it's actually not the situation that's causing the distress. And so what we're going to do is then identify action associated with emotion opposite to the one you're feeling. And we know that you will start to feel better, right? So it's opposite to emotion action. And the first thing I want to say is I want to be very careful about you not thinking I'm telling you not to have your emotions or express your emotions or that your emotions are wrong, right? That's not the case. And in fact, that's what we talked about last week. Right? If your emotions fit the situation, right? Honor those emotions, listen to them. They're telling you something really, really important, and then do something to change the situation that's causing those emotions. But in this case, I want to explain that our emotions are always valid, which means we're having them for a reason, right? We are having the emotion for a reason, but we have to be careful that the situation that brought those emotions on us, that the emotion really fits. And I'm going to give you an example. I went to the doctor last year, and let me just tell you ahead of time, I never went back to him again. So I tried on a new doctor. I found somebody so much better. But I went to a doctor, and after the examination was over, he told me that my BMI was too high. And that enraged me internally, anyway. It enraged me. And on top of it, his BMI was probably higher than mine was. And he didn't have the decency to say, like, I know we're all suffering with this. He didn't just say that. He just told me my BMI was too high. And I was really upset about it. Right? It annoyed me. It's still, you can tell, it still kind of annoys me. But should him telling me that my BMI was too high, should that have enraged me? I don't actually think so. And so I'm going to take you through this process, right? And I'm going to share my screen in a minute. And these materials are in the chat. So when you're having distressing emotion, you don't have to do this when emotions are not distressing to you. You don't have to check the facts on every emotion and then decide if you're going to do opposite to emotion action. It's only the ones that are causing you trouble, right? And my anger was causing me some trouble. So here are the steps, and then I'm going to take you through them. One, identify and name the emotion you want to change. Sometimes we're not clear. In this case, I knew what the emotion was. I was mad, right? Number two is check the facts, which we learned about 2 weeks ago, and I'll take you through my checking of the facts. Number three, identify and describe your action urges, which means what did I want to do, right? What did my anger make me want to do? Then ask wise mind, does that make sense? Should I do that? Right? Is that going to be something that's going to be good for me? Is it going to help me in this situation? And then if you decide if your emotion does not fit the facts or if acting on it won't be effective, okay, so what are some things that I can do that are the opposite if I were to act on my anger? And then we'll talk about what act opposite all the way means. So I'm going to take you through my process. Here are some handouts that deal with different emotions, and let's go to the anger one. So I'm going to start with why my feelings were valid. Right, let's go through this. My feelings of anger are valid because that, and I'm going to talk about, like, I'm not really, I don't think this doctor did anything wrong, but our society does something wrong to people with weight issues, right? Our magazines do. All kinds of ways that overweight people are treated in our society are worthy of anger. So, has an important goal been blocked or a desired activity interrupted or prevented because my BMI is too high? Yes, right? Studies are clear. Overweight people are discriminated against, are less likely to get a job, are less likely to be to, for people to find them attractive, right? Just because of size. And so, yeah, Right? An important goal is blocked or desired. In my life, important goals have been blocked or desired because I was overweight. You or someone you care about is attacked or hurt by others. Absolutely. Right? Overweight people are more likely to be bullied. I know everybody here isn't overweight, but that's my experience, right? Is that yes, I have both B and C. You or someone you care about is insulted or threatened by others. Yes, right? Overweight people are often bullied and insulted because of their weight. D, the integrity or status of your social group is offended or threatened. Yes, right? I think we as a group have been offended or threatened by the outside world. And so the point of this discussion here is my anger is valid. It comes from somewhere, right? There's a good reason that I am feeling angry. But now let's bring it back to the situation because my doctor, right, hasn't done any of these things to me. Right? In fact, he's overweight too. Okay? So was an important goal blocked or desired activity interrupted because he told me that my BMI was too high? That is just a fact. Now, we can argue about BMI is a good measure, right, of health, because there's certainly a lot of, I think, mixed scientific findings about that. I know for a fact, right, that let's, back when I was in a diet club, my goal weight is much too low for me because, if you ever look at your body composition, I have the really like dense bones and muscles of a European peasant, right? So the goal weight that I have been assigned at times would be impossible for me to reach and to be healthy. Even if I could reach it, I would be drastically underweight. Okay. So we can argue about BMI, but the guy just said your BMI is too high, like sort of as defined by the medical profession. So he wasn't blocking any important goal. Was I attacked or hurt by him? No, I was not. He just said, right? Your BMI is too high. You or someone I care about is insulted or threatened. Absolutely not. The integrity or status of your social group is offended or threatened. Absolutely not. So the fact that I felt so angry at him really doesn't fit the facts. Does anybody want to argue that point with me? Does anybody disagree with me?
I could make an argument against that, suggesting that perhaps you could have felt insulted by his suggestion that your BMI is too high when you've just said to me, to us, that you have dense bones and dense muscles. So he was making a value judgment, basically. That feels like an insult to me.
I guess, right? For me, I can think in my head, I don't think he's right. And in fact, he said some other things at this, I'll give you an example, right? So I came in with a very painful shoulder, and I'm pretty sure that that painful shoulder was related to COVID. Like it was muscle inflammation related to COVID because I hadn't injured myself at all. And he told me that what people do is they just lie on the couch the wrong way, and that's why their shoulders hurt because you're lying on the couch. Now, I don't lie on the couch. That didn't make me angry at him. I just thought, you're kind of an idiot, right? Like, that's what I thought. I thought, I don't really respect you as a doctor, and I'm not going to come back to you again. And I didn't, right? But it didn't make me angry, right? I just thought, I don't agree with you, and I'm not sure that I trust your judgment. But I didn't feel insulted by the shoulder thing, right? And so I kind of feel like it might be the same way, is that I don't trust his medical judgment. But like I said, I didn't feel insulted by the shoulder thing. I just thought that was stupid. And I could think the same way about the BMI. I think your information is wrong, right? But I felt insulted, and I think I felt insulted and angry because of the messages that we have gotten, or at least I have gotten all my life from my mother, from society about me being worthless because I was overweight. Right. So in this case, I sort of, for myself, I decided, you know what? I'm not sure that my emotion of anger fits the situation. And certainly the intensity of it doesn't. Right. Like I think annoyance is probably the intensity that fits the situation. If there's going to be any anger, going to be annoyance because emotions differ in intensity. But I was not annoyed, I was angry at him. Okay. So I decided, because this was only last year and I've been a DBT therapist for 10 years, that I would practice opposite action. I'll practice what I preach. So here are opposite actions for anger. Okay. Oh, by the way, what I wanted to do, I didn't tell you, my action urge, right, was to yell at him, give him a bad rating on Zocdoc or something like that, right? And then go out and eat something that's going to make me feel better. So those are my action urges. If I'm going to, right, if I was going to go with the anger. So let's maybe not do that because it's probably not effective. So here are some opposite actions for anger. Okay. Gently avoid the person you are angry with rather than attacking. So what they're saying is if you really want to attack, hang back. Take a deep breath and hang back, right? Take a time out and breathe in and out deeply and slowly, and then be kind rather than mean or insulting. I have to be honest. I did not have it in me to be kind to him at the moment. Like, if I were kind, I might say, thank you so much for the valuable information. But I didn't think it was valuable information, so I wasn't going to do that. And so I decided I'm going to gently avoid this whole issue, right? I'm going to get out of this office because I don't actually respect him. And interestingly enough, he recommended at the time that I go on a statin. Because my cholesterol was high, but I so did not respect him that I didn't follow the recommendations. I've more recently gone to a doctor I do respect who recommended the same thing. And guess what? I'm on the statin because I trusted his judgment. So my in mind, I was just going to avoid everything about this doctor. So maybe that wasn't the best, like just to avoid that, maybe wasn't the best action, but it was probably okay. But I was going to gently avoid this guy rather than confront him or give him a bad review or whatever. So that's opposite actions for anger. And why would we do that? The reason we're doing this is because we're talking about emotions that are causing you distress, that are uncomfortable, that you don't like, right? And if we don't need to feel them because they don't fit the situation, how do we feel better? And one of the best ways to feel better is to act as if you are not upset. Again, this may seem inauthentic or like you're not honoring your emotions. But I will argue that it's the opposite because the emotion doesn't fit the fact. You're honoring it by realizing, and this comes from somewhere, it's valid, right? I knew that it made sense to feel angry about society, how society deals with overweight people, but this guy just said one sentence, right? Your BMI is too high. Okay. So I could feel less, the anger could hang on for a few days or I could make it go away like in an hour. Right. So we can take opposite to emotion action. But it's even better if we go all the way. Like if we really go all the way, because we'll feel better quicker. So here are some things you can do. Imagine understanding and empathy for the other person. All right. Can I put myself in this person's shoes? And I could. I'm pretty sure that this doctor takes probably Medicaid or Medicare or something like that. The doctor probably takes some funding from the government, which requires him to mention BMI. How do I know this? Because I worked for a social service agency for years, which got funding from the federal government and from the state government. And we were, and I put up a fight about this. Our therapists, and I wasn't a therapist there, I was a supervisor and a trainer. Our therapists were mandated to mention people's weight if they were overweight. I was horrified by this idea. But in order to get their funding, they had to mention it in a nice way and offer some strategies, right, to bring their BMIs down. So I'm imagining he has to mention it. Right. I'm thinking that. And on top of it, he may be like every time he has to mention it, he knows his BMI is too high. And I wonder how he feels. Right. So I could sort of put myself in his head, and that made me feel somewhat better. The other thing to do is to have your body, this is change your posture five, right? Get your body to act as if it's not angry. And this is incredibly effective. So the first thing I want to talk about with you is something called willing hands. So can everybody put your hands palm up in a relaxed stance on your knees or your thighs or whatever, right? Just hands up, relaxed on your thighs. This is called willing hands. And not everybody will notice this, but I notice it when I do this, my body takes a deep breath and is more relaxed. So here is a little push in the direction of relaxation and away from anger. See if you can relax the other muscles in your body. And then here is a magic trick. Okay? It's called a half smile, right? Do a half smile. What that means is just lift in a relaxed way the corners of your mouth just a little bit. Maybe even people wouldn't even know you're doing a half smile, but do a half smile. Right? And now you are in a magic position. I use this, you know, like I live in New York City, live and work in New York City. There are people everywhere. I find myself using half smile on the subway all the time because it just relaxes me. And it's a nice neutral sort of stance. Okay. All right. So you're going to change your body posture. And you're actually, your posture is in a way that's the opposite to what you were doing if you were feeling angry. Okay. And then you can change your body chemistry. And I talked about this in the DBT workshop, but not in this. But there's a skill called TIP, which is tip your body chemistry. And you can do that by paced breathing. So some nice, deep, relaxed breathing, again, is the opposite to how you'd be breathing if you were angry. And sometimes what you can do is sort of a quick burst of exercise, like jogging in place for a few seconds or doing a jumping jack or something like that, again, will change your body chemistry. So that's opposite action, right? And I used it with anger, but that you can use it with all kinds of emotions. And I'm gonna show you one that you might not expect. And that is love, right? Why would you need to change feelings of love? Well, hopefully you won't. Like if you're in love with something or you love somebody, you won't ever have to change them. But what if love is causing distress, right? And you can imagine some situations where the feeling of love is causing distress. And I'll give you an example, like when you're in a relationship where your partner is mistreating you, right? And you've gotten out. So let's take a look at that one. It's opposite action to love. So obviously we're using this in a situation where love maybe isn't justified. So here, okay, love fits the facts of a situation whenever loving a person, animal, or object enhances quality of life for you or for those you care about. So is being in love or loving the person you're with actually enhancing your life? If it is, beautiful, keep doing it. Okay. Does loving a person, animal, or object increase your chances of attaining your own personal goals? If those two things are the case, if this person enhances your life and increases the chances of attaining your personal goals, beautiful, please stay in love, right? But if being in love with this person or loving this person does not enhance your life, but makes life worse or makes it less likely that you're going to attain your personal goals, then we need some opposite action because your love does not fit the facts. Okay. So here's some opposite actions for love. Avoid the person, animal, or object you love. Now, if you're still with them, it's hard to do that, but we're hoping that you're not, or that you will get yourself out of this relationship. Distract yourself from thoughts of the person, animal, or object. Some of the people I work with 2 years after a breakup are still thinking about the person all the time and wondering about what they had done wrong. Three, remind yourself of why love is not justified, right? Rehearse the cons of loving when loving thoughts do arise. And then all the way opposite actions for love, okay? Avoid contact with everything that reminds you of a person you love. Pictures, letters, messages, emails, belongings, mementos, their Facebook page, their Instagram page, whatever it is, right? Stop torturing yourself. Stop looking. Okay. Stop expressing love for the person, even to friends. Okay. Be unfriendly toward the person and act, right? Act as if you are not in love. So no leaning toward them, him or her. If you're with, if like you happen to with them someplace, no getting close enough to touch, no sighing, gazing at the person. This is very much set up. I think these suggestions are set up for an ex rather than somebody that you're with. But then, you know, we would figure out ways to extricate yourself to pick another emotion. Here's kind of a list of them, right? We have the big ones are fear, anger, sadness, shame. Let's do anxiety because that's such a big one. Fear. Right. So fear fits the facts. This one's interesting. Fear fits the fact whenever there is a threat to your life or that of someone you care about, your health or that of someone you care about, your well-being or that of someone you care about. And so I know that sometimes when I'm feeling anxiety, it is social anxiety, right? Or anxiety that maybe I'm not doing something perfectly. That's me. And those two situations do not fit here, right? My life or someone I care about is not in danger if I am not great socially. Let's say I'm awkward socially, okay? My health or that of someone I care about is not in danger if I am socially awkward. Okay? My well-being or that of someone I care about is not in danger if I am socially awkward. And so here, my anxiety does not fit the facts. Okay? So opposite actions are do what you were afraid of doing over and over. So for me is keep being social. Keep doing it because there's no danger here, right? Approach events, places, tasks, activities, and people that I am afraid of. And I also treat anxiety disorders and I use exposure therapy, right? The thing that you're afraid of and avoiding, we're gonna build you up to it so that you can approach those things that you're afraid of. And do things to give yourself a sense of control and mastery over your fears. So what might that look like for me is that I read the news. I have interesting things to talk about. We talked about this last week. I know how to ask people questions, right? So I'm prepared to go. I have some control and mastery over social situations. And then opposite ones are all the way opposite. Keep your eyes and ears open and focused on the feared event, right? Be really present. Take in the information from the situation. Notice that you are safe. Notice that other people are awkward too. Or if somebody's awkward, so what? Change posture and keep a confident voice tone. And change your body chemistry by my favorite thing, which is deep breathing, which is calming. Okay. Well, let's practice. Jenny, can we do breakout rooms? In the handouts, there's a worksheet that will take you through opposite action, helping you identify an emotion, right? And so with your partner, go through the situation. Think of a strong emotion that you've had recently that you're pretty sure doesn't fit the facts, and identify opposite action for that emotion.
The worksheet is on page 12 of the handout. So if you click on that link that's in the chat, you should be able to find it. Okay, everybody should be back.
Yay, welcome back, everybody. Does anybody want to take a few minutes to share how that went for them, what the process was like, and if there's any questions about it now that you've had a chance to use it? Okay, Janet.
Hi. Well, my breakout room partner and I had a nice exchange and realized that we really wish we'd had a lot of these tools much earlier in our lives, but very
I
grateful to have them now.
Good.
Some of these I feel like are basic things my mother did try to teach me. Just, imagine yourself in the other person's shoes and anyway, basic human kindness, but the fact that there are actual strategies that we can use is really useful for me. I talked about shame in a situation in which I knew I had done something really wrong. And looking back on it now, I can see so many of the I could have used so many of these tools instead of taking the action that I took in anger and ended up hurting someone.
Right.
I find the tools very valuable. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. Good. That makes me so happy. Anybody else share anything about using this in your breakout room? Karen.
Hi. My thought was that these are great tools, but in the moment, mine was sadness. And I feel sad and I just want to hide and bury myself. And so the reaction would be get active. My feeling, my thoughts, my media thought was, I'm not going to do that. I'm too sad. I'm too sad to do that. To have that strength to actually say, no, I'm not going to be sad. That's the big problem, that these tools in itself are great. And I guess, I mean, it would just be a process of using them little by little. That's my first thought.
Yeah, and also I think what helps, two things I want to say. One thing that helps is to kind of make a decision at the beginning of the week you're going to use a skill at least once, right? Have the intention to do it. And that increases the probability that you'll use it at least once, just one time, right? The second thing I want you to know is I still sometimes have to remind myself that if I have an emotion that doesn't fit the facts, that it's okay, right? That I don't have to judge myself about having that. Okay, it's fine. Again, it's valid. It comes from somewhere. And then I can make the decision to do something differently. So I can be very hard on myself, much harder on myself than on other people. And look back, you know, you felt that way and you told yourself you were going to do this. That's okay, right? That's fine. And then once I take the deep breath and I calm down and then make a decision. So I hope nobody judges themselves on that initial emotional reaction because it's okay. It may, like, as I went through the anger thing with the BMI, it comes from somewhere, right? You're not coming up with that emotion for no good reason. It is coming from somewhere that makes sense, right? We just have to figure out if acting on it makes sense in this situation and would choosing an opposite action make more sense for you. Okay. Janet, do you have your hand up again or is that from before? Okay.
I do actually. I don't want to take too much time because I've already spoken, but with the situation you described with the BMI, I've been in a different response pattern where I had a similar situation with a doctor telling me that, and I got very angry because I knew he was right. And I knew I needed to address my weight because of my A1C and my glucose and all these other reasons. But I immediately put up a fortress around that.
That's right.
Was not yet ready to take responsibility.
Yeah.
I got there later. But in that point, in that case, my anger was at him for pointing out a truth that I wasn't ready to face.
That's right. Anger is such an interesting emotion because it's a strong emotion. When we're angry, we are not feeling vulnerable. We are not feeling sad. We are not feeling worried. And so anger is one of those emotions we have to be very careful about because it feels sometimes better to be angry than all those other things, especially sadness, right? Or anxiety. And so again, if that's your first emotion, great. We know why. We understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. But right, the important next step is to decide, does my anger fit the situation, right? And if so, then let me not act on it because it won't be good for me or effective in the situation. All right, everybody, thank you so much. We're going to start to wrap up.
Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a small donation.